donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And John from Parma pledges 50. Stephanie from New York pledges 150. And Marilyn from Florida pledges 100. Thank you, thank you. All righty. Go ahead, Joe. Finish what you were saying. Where's Joe at? Did he take off? Joe, did you take off again?
I don't know what's happening. Something keeps breaking. The this week, sources from Fox News are reporting that the director, former director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, met with Durham on multiple occasions, telling him, quote, there was evidence and intelligence to support the indictments of multiple people in his investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. So we have a truth teller from DNI that they're not going to be able to cover up. He saw the evidence of multiple people, you know, committing lies and treason. So okay. This is going to be breaking. It's going to get big. And I think at this point, there is no way that they can stop it from happening.
Well, here's the problem. We don't have a Department of Justice. Now, here,
well, that's
Special
true.
Counsel John Durham, still in action, Garland says, Garland, this there is no longer an independent agency, just like the CIA or the FBI. They have been taken over. They're simply branches now of the Democratic Communist Party. And so, you know, in order for them to go after Hillary, we have to have a Department of Justice. And as of this point, we don't. Now, Durham states the internet company that tech executive worked for had come to access and maintain dedicated servers for the executive office of the president as a part of a sensitive arrangement whereby it provides DNS resolution services to the EOP. Okay, now, again, Durham targets Clinton campaign law from, we told you from the very beginning. Who was the, maybe, do you remember the young guy that was former from the Democratic Party? He was one of their activists. He was found dead. He was shot.
Right. I've been trying to find his name. We reported on it. He was murdered outside his house.
He was the one that was dropping a dime.
Right. I don't remember the name.
He's the one who hacked the DNC server because it was proven by computer experts that it could not have been a hack. That there wasn't enough time. It had to be somebody who could plug in equipment into the computer. So much was downloaded in such a short period of time that it had to be an inside job. And he was the one that WikiLeaks said gave them the information from the DNC. And I can't think of his name, but we told the story then, and he was murdered to shut him up. They said it's a robbery, but he had an expensive watch, expensive jewelry, a wallet full of cash. That's some robbery.
Yeah. All right. Elaine, you have an article there.
Yeah, I get quite a few phone calls from family members. What's going on in the hospitals? How do I get my loved one out of the hospital because they're not taking care of them? And what I tell everybody is you need to take steps beyond what you normally do to keep yourself healthy and out of the hospitals because they are killing fields right now. I got an article from Todd Callender. He's an international lawyer from a disabled rights advocates group. And I learned a few things from his writing here. The protocols that are being used in the hospitals right now came directly from the World Health Organization to the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. And they arose from the PREP Act and Health and Human Services Authorization when they released funding for the declared pandemic that sets these protocols in motion. From there, the hospitals are federally funded through Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, and use coding to tie to these NIH and CDC written protocols. If these hospitals take the funding, and they all have, they must follow these protocols, starting with the ICD billing codes. According to this attorney, the CDC and NIH protocols are based on the World Health Organization 2005 International Health Regulations that directs each of its 196 countries around the world to accede all sovereign powers to the World Health Organization in the case of a declared health emergency. Then the World Health Organization directs the state health bodies, in this case, the CDC and NIH, on treatment. This is why every country is responding the same way at the same time globally. It's a backdoor to one world dictatorial government. When these protocols are passed down to the hospitals, they take funding under this emergency declaration. Patient rights are waived under the CMS COVID waiver program, which was approved by our Congress in the summer of 2020, which nobody heard anything about, and also with the PrEP and the CARES Act. So an example is, say a patient goes in the hospital for a broken arm. That patient's given a COVID test, which the test will almost always come back positive because they're fraudulent. And if it doesn't, they'll test again until it does. Then the patient's admitted, put on an IV bag with a tranquilizer that lowers their oxygen absorption, which then justifies putting the patient into COVID isolation, where the antiviral drug remdesivir, which is lethal, is added to the bag before being moved into the ICU, where the patient's then giving morphine and fentanyl while being deprived of nutrition. Each of these procedures brings in high federal reimbursement of up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. However, pinning down a specific number reflecting an exact amount is difficult due to overlapping charges and variation from state to state. Now, in 2006, the Department of Justice created a new program to merge public health with law enforcement, such that hospitals are now a part of the criminal justice enterprise and therefore enjoy the protection of in-house police, who often arrest the disheartened family members trying to help. Most every time that this attorney has called law enforcement to do a healthy safety and welfare check or a civil standby, either the police refuse to come or issue trespass citation to his clients. There was an attorney in a hospital in Ohio here where Callender was attempting to remove a patient, told Callender that his client would die in his hospital and there was nothing that he could do about it. So stay out of the hospital, do whatever you can. And there are doctors that will treat you at home to keep you out of the hospital. There's websites that you can go to. If you're interested in those, you can reach me 440-478-4073, and I can provide you that information.
Thank you.
Slowly, Elaine. I couldn't write it that fast. I don't think even other people can.
Okay, then my phone number is 440-478-4073.
440-473.
Correct. 440-478-4073. There's doctors who will, across the country, talk you with you by phone, do a Zoom call, reach you however is necessary, especially for those who don't have the technology, because I've hooked them up with these physicians, and they will help you to stay out of the hospital.
All right. That leads me to the next article here by Lisa Powell. Explosive audio. Whistleblower releases recording. Reveals doctors are refusing life-saving treatment to COVID-19 patients in hospitals. Wife was forced to smuggle in ivermectin into the hospital. In a privately recorded audio obtained by Gateway Pundit, physician assistant Scott Miller pleads with a doctor who works in a hospital's intensive care unit, urging the health practitioner to provide a woman's critically ill husband vitamins, ivermectin, and other life-saving treatments that are withheld from COVID patients in medical facilities across the nation. That's the point. They want you to die. They're a part of the depopulation. Okay.
They are paying these doctors and hospitals to kill you, paying pharmacists to inject the vaccine to kill people.
The doctor, whose identity this publication has redacted, refuses to provide the patient ivermectin, but assures Miller and the distraught wife on the secretly recorded phone call that he would provide the patient supplements, including vitamin D and melatonin. Yet the doctor never actually changed the protocol, never even administered the patient with additional vitamins or steroids. Instead, like dozens of physicians Miller has confronted and recorded, continued to adhere to the lethal Center for Disease Control's orders, providing patients with remdesivir, a drug which causes renal failure, and intubation, which Miller and a multitude of experts contend is akin to a guillotine.
And there's also a new study out this in February here from Cornell University, saying that the ivermectin showed the best results against COVID when it was put up against of 10 other medications, that ivermectin lowers the viral load by inhibiting replication of the virus, reduces the infection by 86% when used preventatively, speeds recovery, protects against organ damage, and lowers the risk of hospitalization and death. And what is of note, also in the same article, it talks about a study from Japan that demonstrated that after just 12 days that doctors were allowed to legally prescribe ivermectin to their patients, their cases dropped dramatically.
Well, look what they did with India. They were handing out ivermectin tablets to everybody they could, and look what the rates of COVID plummeted in one of the poorest countries where sanitation is probably the worst in the world. They had a marvelous recovery.
And they had passed out those COVID kits for free.
Yeah.
Here's an article.
Along with that, Robert Malone, remember the doctor that helped create the mRNA, you know, system? He came out with a new lie. The Center for Disease has been saying that the spike protein that's produced by the vaccine doesn't last long in the body, maybe only a few weeks. Well, Stanford University, a new peer-reviewed study by researchers there, finds that the spike protein created by the vax remains in the body much longer and than believed, and at much higher levels than, get this, those of severely ill COVID-19 patients. So the proteins are higher than in somebody that's very, very sick with the illness. And Malone says, well, they kind of buried some of the real findings in a study published by the journal Cell. He said this, the results as a potential health public policy nightmare. And it goes on, he gets into the weeds about what all is happening in the body. But basically, he said, if the fact of what's happening is only now being discovered, or if it was known and not released to the public, is criminal, in my opinion. He's calling it criminal. This should have been characterized long ago, including prior to beginning the human clinical trials. And so he's coming out using words like criminal, the withholding of this information that's been in some of the journals, but they've hidden it in the fine print, which, well, what the government always does, right? They hide it, the details, or the devil's in the details.
And it's called malevolent intent, because yep, it's inconceivable to me that these people do not know what they're doing because they've done it so well.
Yeah, and he said these lipid nanoparticles, which you probably know a lot more about, Elaine, he said these deliver the spike protein. They go right to the heart. And he believes that's why we have this higher than expected rate of myocarditis all over the world. And he said this: the myocarditis from just the COVID is mild and very inconsequential, while the myocarditis caused by the vaccine is severe. Huge difference in words from mild inconsequential to severe. So the vaccine, he's saying this is criminal, what they're doing.
Any myocarditis is not good. I don't care whether it's labeled mild or moderate. It's an inflammation of the heart, and the heart cannot recover from that.
Yeah, but when he says severe, when this doctor uses the word severe, that's a little more, pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, in other words, it's going to be lethal within a few months.
Months or years.
Correct.
Alrighty, and again, you're not seeing, you know, normally if there was any other thing, you know, if people who profess that they believed in Jesus Christ as a Messiah and they were having heart attacks and dying, you'd see that 24 hours. I mean, the fake news media would be showing it all day long. You see, here's another professing Christian, he just died. Here's another. But these athletes are dying from this myocarditis. We see them dropping; they're dropping dead all over the country. Up 40%. Death rates are up 40%. 40%. And but you're not seeing any of that on the fake news media at all, are you?
Right. And they're these healthy athletes that should be the most disease resistant, the young people, are the ones who should be able to handle any kind of COVID. Colds are COVID, flus are COVID, coronavirus is a COVID, and the healthier you are, the better able you are to just fight off a flu or a COVID virus. And yet these people are dying. It's not from the COVID. It's from the vaccines.
Correct.
Right. Laura from Portland pledges 50. Steve from Cleveland pledges 40. I'm not sure, but I think, Joe, we're still about 3,200 away from our goal, and we have approximately 35 minutes to raise it. Wait a minute. Here, it looks like there's a new report coming in right now, and I'll know how much we have.
Okay. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you about a new study that was recently published in the Italian Journal of Infectious Medicine. And they did this on fungal contamination in face masks. And this is very, very important for our children. There's a good amount of states out there and schools that are still masking our kids. And they found over 70% of the masks tested had fungus in there. And so our children are being damaged. The more masking, the more damage.
Yep, and that's long-term damage, isn't it?
It is. We're 3,000, Joe. We're 3,000 away from our goal. So we need to raise about $100 a minute. About $100 a minute. So,
well,
folks, help us out.
This, he said, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. What the Lord is saying is you give according to what you have been given. There are some of you out there that God is truly blessed with, instead of a beautiful singing voice or a pretty face, you've been blessed with the ability to have a professional practice, run a business, a manufacturing business, a trucking company, whatever. And your gift has been being able to put people to work and make money. And you can, through that money, you can use that to lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. God says if you support a ministry that does his work and that does his will, you get to share in the blessings of that ministry. So every life we touch through the radio ministry, through the King's Word School of the Bible, through the prison ministry, through the Right to Life ministry, through there's several of us that have been in hospice for years, any thing that blesses the Lord that was done in any aspect of this ministry, if you support it, you get to share in the blessings, whether it's $5 or $5,000. And some of you out there, God is truly blessed in other ways. And this is something you can put your money to some very, very good use by keeping us on the air.
All right, John in Minnesota pledges 50, and Bo from Parma pledges 100. Thank you, John. Thank you, Bo. And Matthew from Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Matthew. All right, here. This is an article by Joe Hoft. And now, what research? We are the research. A grieving widow goes off on social media after her husband died with myocarditis. A 34-year-old father from Cobourg, Ontario, died with lymphocytic, oh boy, what a word, a toxicitic myocarditis in front of his two young children. Brandon Watt died, I'm not going to say that long word again, of myocarditis, according to the initial finding of his autopsy determined by the Ontario Coroner's Office. And the pages are stuck together. Hang on. At Kingston General Hospital, according to Johns Hopkins Medical, lymphatic myocarditis is a rare form of myocarditis that can result in hospitalization for acute care. It occurs when white blood cells, lymphocytes, enter into the cause and cause inflammation of the heart muscle. The condition can occur after a virus. The official findings of the autopsy state that the entire heart was fully attacked for multiple months, damaged from top to bottom. And here, his wife, Chantelle Watt, said, the virus that killed my husband was likely the mRNA vaccine. And she was pretty upset. She was, boy, she, And I don't blame her.
Well, and that's exactly what the spike protein does. It causes your body to start attacking itself, and it will attack the organs that the spike protein is attached to.
I watched a video last night, and the video was put up by Tom Horn. And Tom is very precise. He's very, very exact, very precise. He does his research. He really knows. He knows what he's talking about. And the long and the short of this video, folks, it was showing you how the RNMR, how this bioweapon changes the DNA in our bodies. And it was really something. Now, we did some reports from a number of coroners, and the coroners, when they're doing their autopsy, were saying they were astonished, they were amazed, some of them were frightened by what was happening when they were cutting into the people, and they found this long, it's long like plastic or almost like caulking, mm-hmm. like strings of caulking, where they're it's just unbelievable, and they said that. People are dying left and right. I mean, of course, we knew. We've been trying to tell people, haven't we?
Correct. And basically, they're going after our God genes, you know, because we're created in His image. And that's the whole intent, is to change us. And it's the transhumanism movement. Well, the one article here I have here, Pastor, talks about lab-grown designer babies. There was technical advancement admitted publicly February 1st, an article in a magazine called Futurism, which announced that Chinese scientists have developed an artificial intelligence nanny robot to care for fetuses grown inside an artificial womb. As of now, the AI robot is only in charge of lab-raised animal embryos because experimentation on human embryos is forbidden under international law, but we know that they're not going to abide by that.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
However, the rule has been that no human embryo could be grown in the lab environment beyond 14 days. It doesn't say they can't create them.
Right.
However, combining with this AI robot, they've since 2018 announced that Chinese scientists were creating CRISPR gene-edited babies. And that was reported in the Technology Review in November of 2018. And that a daring effort is underway to create the first children whose DNA has been tailored using gene editing. So this is just pure evil.
Well, I want to talk about this here for a minute, but first I want to say that Anonymous in New York pledges 100, Lulu in Vista, California pledges 15, Louise in Minnesota pledges 100, and here also Jim from Dallas pledges 40. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. I'll give them to you again because we're down to about 25 minutes. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Now, look, they're talking about, all right, we just have another one. Guess what? The nurse just right here, Elaine, just pledged 100. So put her on the board. Okay, Elaine just pledges 100. Now, here, what is happening again with changing? And again, they're making a case that now that since our DNA has been changed, we're no longer human. There's talk amongst those in big tech, big pharma, about since they own the patents on these beings now, since our DNA has changed from, you know, our God, as you talked about there, that now do our people that have taken the shot, are they actually property of big pharma?
Potentially. The U.S. Patent Office, they haven't changed those policies, say that you cannot patent anything that occurs in nature. All right, so we're natural. We occur in nature. If my DNA is changed and I no longer have that humanness and that godlike gene in my DNA that I was born with, then I have become, that's the first step for the transhumanism movement.
Exactly, because then it'll be a percentage. When it reaches a certain percentage, it will no longer be God-given.
And that's the whole idea of the boosters.
Yeah.
All right, you know, every 3 months, they're talking. The last I heard from one of Dr. Tenpenny's talk was that they were talking about boosters number 7 and number 8. All right.
Oh. All right. Here we have Paul in Texas pledges 100, and Donna from Cleveland pledges 400. Thank you, thank you. Okay.
Pastor Ernie?
Yes, sir.
I've been with you quite a few years and learned a great deal. And I remember when I came across Jeremiah 3:15, I want to tell the listeners out there, this is what I believe God called you to do. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And you have been out there pretty much your whole life being the watchman on the wall, bringing truth, knowledge, and understanding of the times to the listeners. And you are not and have not been paid for it. You've had your salary from your church. But I want to remind everybody out there, you've all these years on the radio, you have not taken a single dime. In fact, neither is anyone with you. Everyone that's been in or is in the ministry are all volunteers. We've all donated our own time, our own talent, our own treasure, working for the Lord. We make a joke about the pay is lousy, but the retirement plan, well, it's literally out of this world. And I just want the listeners to know, so when you donate, your donations keep the ministry going. They do not enrich any one of us in any way at all.
All right. We want to say Harold from Illinois pledges 150 and Diane in Massachusetts pledges 100. All right, folks, we have approximately 20 minutes left, 22 minutes left, I think we have, Joe.
22.
Okay, here, we're getting a new report coming in now, and I'll tell you where we're at here, see what we need. Okay, so we've got, all right, we need approximately, let me see, I'm figuring this out, about 1,700. We need about 1,700 left. Okay, so we're down, we need about 1,700 to make our goal tonight, 1,700. All we need is one person to pledge 1,700, or 17 people
there,
to pledge 100.
That's possible, or a few.
Yeah.
I've got, we talked about everybody wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. Well, your government looks at Valentine's a little differently. You see, the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, came out, and they said, well, Valentine's Day can still be fun even if you break up. Do you have information about a former or current partner involved in illegal gun activity? Let us know, and we will make sure it's a Valentine's Day to remember, the ATF post said. This is how your government thinks you should celebrate Valentine's Day, by turning in current or former lovers. And, of course, the guns rights people and people like myself, Josh Mandel, candidate for the Senate there in Ohio, abolished the ATF, J.D. Vance in Ohio. Why don't you guys focus on the Mexican drug cartels? And then I was thinking, how about Hunter Biden? He lied on the federal form to purchase a gun. He bought a gun he wasn't legally allowed to have, and yet I have never heard of them going after Hunter Biden, accusing him of a federal crime. Maybe we could all turn in Hunter Biden on Valentine's Day to the ATF, but I don't think they really want to know. Do you, Pastor Ernie?
What about Fast and Furious? Do you remember that? When?
Oh, yeah. They gave all kinds of wonderful weapons to the drug dealers.
To the drug dealers, and what did they do with those? They killed Americans with it.
That's right. They killed one of our own border. Oh, did you hear the news? Down there, the big bad cartel, I can't remember which one right now offhand, my brain senior moment, there showed a video of one of their men killing the competition, and after they killed him, cut open, took out the heart, and were eating the heart of the person they killed, and they're flashing this video to show how tough, how mean, how dangerous they are, how they, you know, to scare people, and they, if you look at this guy, he looked pretty mean, and he literally sat there on the video eating a human heart.
But that's part of the satanic rituals also.
Oh, yeah. And we're allowing this is happening on our border. The cartels are now running the border between the United States and Mexico. Everything that happens is under their control. And our government...
And they're working... First of all, quit saying our government. You don't have a government anymore.
Yeah, we have a corrupt bunch of people trying to destroy America. Right.
It's no longer government of the people by the people. It's government against the people.
You're right.
And so here, it's not our government anymore, okay?
Let's just say the Biden administration.
The Obama... Look, they're working hand in hand. The Obama crime cartel is working hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smuggler cartels. They're binding the hands. Joe Biden is a criminal. He is as much a criminal as any criminal. And they're binding the hands of the Border Patrol agents, those that are who are trying to help, trying to keep this country, trying to keep a border. And so, again, he's a criminal. And his job is to do as quickly as possible to destroy this country before the people rise up to take it back.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, you remember Obama, he didn't have any money when he came into the presidency, and he's got that $12 million waterfront home on Martha's Vineyard. He just bought a piece of property in Oahu there in Hawaii for $8.7 million. That's just for the land. He's going to build a fancy home on it. You wonder where all this money comes from. Oh, and by the way, he was the one who was warning how there was going to be this horrible flooding and all the islands would disappear and all the trouble with the planet and flooding and severe coastal flooding and all this. So what does he do? He's buying property, has a big mansion on a island, Martha's Vineyard, and just bought a huge chunk of property on Oahu, an island, and the other ocean. So, you know.
Anonymous from New York pledges another 100. And Mike from Windsor pledges 100. Denny from Philly pledges 100. And Maureen from the Bronx pledges 100. Thank you again. Thank you.
We are rolling on a roll.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being on a roll, there's a Midwest Freedom Convoy starting up in March. This group is leaving from North Dakota. They're going to go all the way to D.C. They have been posting on Facebook. There are a couple websites out there. I don't have them with me right now. But with the truck convoys starting up in March from California to D.C. But March 3rd, they're going to start off in North Dakota. And then March 4th, they're going to be in Wisconsin. March 5th, they will get into South Benoit, Illinois. And then on March 6th, which is a Sunday, they're going to be going through Columbus, Ohio, about 1:30 on Interstate 70 East. So there'll be more coming out about that. If you're on Telegram, you can go on to some of the truck convoy channels there and learn more about what's happening. But it's the resistance is starting up more visibly in the United States now.
Well, wouldn't that be great to have just tens of thousands of people to show up and line the roads when they come through and cheer them on? And
exactly, but they've got the plans going because they've got it by date and by time for this Midwest Freedom Convoy.
Wow. Hey, did you notice, Elaine, that all of a sudden today up in Canada they declared a national emergency and they're talking about doing some horrific things, but... all of a sudden, you look on the news sites, Fox News, everywhere, crickets. We haven't heard what happened. They called all of these police out. They're making all kinds of threats. But What's on the news? I wasn't able to find really anything.
Well, here's what's happening, Joe. More and more police officers, those that have integrity, the police officers that have integrity, those that have honor, those that are honest and who will do their job, because what is happening there, to confiscate the oil or the fuel oil from the truckers is a violation of the law. They've broken the law, and they violated their civil rights. So here, more and more of the police officers say, no, we're not going to do it. Count me out. I want out. And we'll quit before we'll go against and break the law against the citizens of Canada. Now, only as far as I'm concerned, those that will go ahead and they will obey the tyrants and not hold to the laws, those are, they've got no integrity, no honor, and they're sold themselves. And the Bible calls those people whores. That's what it says. They've gone a whoring. And it says that they become whores. And that's exactly what's happening. If you're out there, and I'm telling you folks out there, you police officers, keep your integrity. Keep your integrity. Don't reduce yourself to what they've asked you to do. You stand up. Here, what did Peter say? We must obey God rather than man.
Correct.
We must obey God rather than man, folks.
And they tried to get the tow trucks to come and tow the truckers, and the response from the tow truck drivers was basically they all had COVID. They couldn't do it.
I heard somebody say they told them to go pound sand.
Well, I'm sure they told them something else, too, that I can't say on the air.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they've had it. But we have to stand for freedom.
You have to stand together.
Those people are fighting for their freedom. God's word, the Bible tells you, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
And there's been no violence. They are peaceably assembling. There's children there. They linked arms, and the police backed down.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely no violence. But again, they're calling it what? An insurrection. They're not wanting to change the government. They just want their freedoms back that they've had. But again, look what they're doing. Insurrection, you know, trying to take over the government.
Some of those young police officers saying, Captain, that's my dad out there. That's my dad. That's my brother out there. I don't know. I can't do that, okay? And so if you have any honor and integrity, don't sell yourself. Do not. Stay with it. Do the right thing.
Amen.
We have, let me see, Mike from Windsor pledges 100, and Denny from Philly pledges 100. Did I say those already? I already said them, okay. Well, then we better get some new ones because we're running out of time. We only have... Right now we have 12 minutes left, 12 minutes, and I'm not quite sure how much we need, but I think it's at least $100 a minute.
We're not there yet. Oh, do you remember one thing I wanted to get out? This is sad, but they need to hear it. Remember in San Francisco, all the bureaucrats were asking people to take the homeless into their homes to alleviate the problem, you know, take a homeless, somebody homeless and bring them into your house.
Except for the bureaucrats didn't do that, did they?
Well, they didn't. But there in Utah, a woman asked a homeless man that she had helped to come in and take a shower, clean up. She was helping him out, feeding him and doing some other things. And what did he do after he cleaned up and had a shower? He slit her throat on the way out the door. And the police got a report of a woman heavily bleeding on her apartment. And she's going to survive, thank goodness. And the suspect, Eric Jones, was arrested a couple miles away. And it's interesting because the Salt Lake City police detective said, well, you know, folks, it goes along with know who you're letting into your house. Don't let people you don't know into your house. And yet in San Francisco, take these people into your home and let them not just have a shower, but let them live there. I thought, now there is irony, if I've ever heard it.
Here you go, Joe. New Biden nuclear hire is a drag queen who wears stilettos to work, discusses sex with animals, and calls the NIH chief Daddy Fauci.
Fauci. Oh, isn't that just wonderful? I couldn't wait to go to work and tell the people what his official title is.
Let me see.
I mean, this is too great. You couldn't make this stuff up.
A recent high-level hire at the Department of Energy's office, Nuclear Energy, is a drag queen, LGBTQ, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer activist who has lectured on kink in college campuses and participated in interviews about fetish role play. Well, that qualifies him for to be a Democrat.
Bizarre doesn't right. even describe
exactly.
that.
In one interview, Sam Brighton, now a top Obama official, even discusses having sex with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
he's been tapped. His new title is Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy for the Department of Energy. And Pastor Ernie, do you remember years and years ago we told people about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence? A bunch of drags that dressed up like sexy nuns. Remember there in San Francisco, they were out when Nancy Pelosi was looking at the sodomy going on in the streets. Well, he is the head of the D.C. chapter of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, probably the most vile group of people that I can think of.
I wonder if Joe Obama would smell his hair.
you put an image in my mind. Oh, I'll never get that.
I got a picture of it right here. I got a picture. He's got a whip in his hand, and he's puckering his lips like he wants to kiss Mr. Fauci.
Yeah. I've got some pictures of him, but I don't think I want to describe what they are on the radio. It's too vile.
Yeah, I know. I saw him, too.
Folks, it's literally, they've got pictures up there on the web about him behaviors. It's totally sick, perverted, vile. And I would not even, I just.
Okay, Joe, we are right now, we are 8 minutes away, and we still need about $1,250. So, all right, we have Mary from Massachusetts pledges 50. So, but we're only 8 minutes away, but we still need about 1,200. Wait a minute, here comes a report coming in right now. And I'll tell you, we'll see exactly how much we need, hopefully. Okay, hold on, let me look here. Okay. Let me see. So that's how much has come in. So what we need right now, we're 1,100 away. We're 1,100 away. So, folks, we need one person to make out a check for 1,000 and one for 100, right? Or 11 people to make out a check for 100, right?
Right.
Or 1,100 people to make out a check for 1,000. I would like that better. Okay.
In Luke chapter 6, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again."
Here you go.
In simple language, it means that when you give, God will make sure that you can give again, that you can keep giving. That he won't let it harm you.
Here's an article by Jim Patrick. Biden regime commits nearly $200 million to Soros nonprofit that helps illegal immigrants. Okay. Goes on to say, the White House mouthpiece, Jen Circleback Psaki, has been attempting to gaslight the American people by claiming that Joe Biden regime isn't as soft on crime as being portrayed. However, as always, talk is cheap, and the actions speak louder than words. The Western Journal reports that the Biden regime has committed to nearly $200 million to a group linked to billionaire socialist George Soros, which helps illegal aliens escape from punishment. According to federal watchdog group,
they're taking our taxpayer money to hire attorneys to defend illegal aliens.
People that want to take our property.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll own nothing and be happy.
Yep.
Yeah. And we'll get to pay for it. Oh, isn't that just wonderful? Yeah. What else they're doing with our taxpayer money? I'm reading an article. I get paid to be homeless in San Francisco. It only takes one phone call. This old school junkie moved to the city because he gets $620 a month that can pay for his prime time and on Amazon and Netflix. The cops are like neighbors, James says, and then he gets not only the $620 in cash, but $200 a month in food stamps, and he sells Narcan to addicts to make his life complete. Think about that, and I wonder why all these people are going to these cities. They're getting paid to be homeless, paid cash, food stamps, and, of course, the cops are like, what do you say? They're like neighbors.
Yeah, well, here's what's happening, okay? When you're talking about the cops, there's a war on police here by the Democratic Communist Party. And in a 24-hour period, we saw 13 police officers wounded by gunfire. And so here's
states, and that happened in four separate states, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was Arizona, Maryland, New Mexico, and Pennsylvania. And Arizona was on the top of the list with 9 officers shot. And the last 24 hours, 9 officers in Arizona were wounded.
Well, I think what you're going to have, I think the deep state is going to have a problem when we have the trucking, the convoys, the freedom convoys mm-hmm. out there, and because the police have seen the way they've been treated by the Biden regime, and I got a feeling because I'm not going to be the only one telling the police to have integrity. I'm not going to be the only one telling the police to stand up with honor and obey the oath that they took to the Constitution. There are going to be others out there. And there's even some pastors that have courage. And there's some pastors out there that will get in a pulpit and say, you need to obey God rather than man. And so I think in this war, this battle for freedom, before the Democrats can completely destroy this country, we're going to see what happens. Now here, Jim Jordan says, Trump is right on target to suggest executions for Hillary campaign's aides, okay? Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio said that Donald Trump was right on target when he suggests Hillary Clinton's operatives should be executed after she was accused of treason by the former president. She committed high treason.
Yes.
She committed high treason. But we don't have a Justice Department. We got a dirty cop up there in Merrick Garland who's
she
running
that. She authorized it. She paid for it. She is the queen bee that everything, the whole Democratic Party was revolving around, right?
Right. Okay. Let me see. Here you go. Pick it up. Trump launched a blistering attack on Clinton on Saturday after Special Counsel John Durham said his team had spied on his White House servers to find ties to Russians as to smear him. Trump argued Durham's report was even more shocking than Watergate and demanded everybody involved should be prosecuted and executed if possible. In a stronger period of time, our country, this crime would have been punished by death, Trump said. Yeah, well, there was a time when we had a government that wasn't so corrupted. It is so the deep state. Look at the CIA, the FBI. Totally, I mean, just unbelievable, folks. You got to stand up. Remember, resistance to treason and terrorism is obedience to God.
And our war is going to be won at the local and state level, not the federal level at all.
All right, absolutely.
We've heard that phrase, all politics are local. We need to get involved in our local city, county politics, take over, take back our cities, take back our counties.
Joe, you know what? We're close to the end right now, so I want to make our goal. So I'm going to pledge, Doers of the Word Church is going to pledge $1,000. We're going to pledge $1,000. And so that should bring us pretty close to our goal tonight.
If you do that, I will have to match. Last month, I said I'd donate $150. My wife and I will double. We'll make another payment on that.
All right.
$150.
Okay, so I think with that, I think we would have made our goal for tonight, but it's going to be a tough night tomorrow night because we, like I said, this is Monday, and we just made our goal for tonight. And right now, Joe, you've got 3 minutes to give an invitation.
All right, folks. When you look at Scripture, God's Word, I look at the Bible, care and feeding of His children, of creation, His Word for eternity, and what does He tell us? He sent His Son, for He hath made Him, His Son, to be sin for us. Jesus, I'm putting that in, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God sent His only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent His Son to be a what? A propitiation through faith in His blood, a propitiation for our sins. He sent us a way for sinless man to be able to stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God. Jesus Christ went to the cross and took your place, took my place, Pastor Ernie's place, and He said, I'm taking your sins with me, past, present, and future, and I'm paying the penalty. The wages of sin is death. And He paid that price for all who would accept His offer of love and mercy, of redemption. What you do to have that redemption, that forgiveness, we call it being born again. You call upon the Father, you pray to the Father, and you ask forgiveness of your sins, the sins, the very sins that put Jesus on that cross. Ask for your sins to be forgiven, that you want Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservation. You want to become this born-again believer that you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to send the Holy Spirit to come dwell in your heart. That's your down payment on everlasting life. Once you have that spiritual down payment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation, a new creature, a joint heir with Jesus Himself and everlasting life. You will be changed literally forever. And this decision is one that's made from the heart. I can't forgive you. The only person that can forgive you is God Himself, the same God who went and died and took your place. But you have to repent from the heart. In other words, you have to be truly sorry that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. And if you call upon Him, even if your words are garbled, it's from the heart.
That's right, Joe. You're right. We're out of time for tonight. And so, folks, until tomorrow, as we get to this point every night, we want to say good night. God bless.
God bless.
And remember, always, always, let's do it. You ready? Always, always,
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.